whole and perfect.
What?
This is instant inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. Whole and perfect. What does it mean to be whole and perfect? Well, it means not to be sick, not to have problems with your body, not to have problems with your mind, with your relationships, not to have problems with your business, with your finances, not to have problems with your voice. And somebody's got a voice over here, they're saying there's some meat up on the counter that should be put in the refrigerator and then they won't smell it. So as long as it's out there, they're going to smell it and they're going to say, woof, 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 let's have some of those chicken bones. They look so good. They smell so good. They are so good. Ellen?
Yep.
You may put that bowl in the refrigerator by itself and then fix it later. That way it'll be done and whole and perfect. And our puppies will not have to be concerned. They're not after the potatoes or the spinach or the carrots. They're only after the chicken legs, which smells so good, so delicious, so whole and perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, why did I digress while speaking on this topic of whole and perfect about the dogs wanting the chicken legs because they smell so good on the counter there? We have facing us lots of little circumstances in our life, and we ignore them. We ignore them, and we don't take care of them, and then we wonder why they become so exaggerated, why they become so large and overwhelming to us. Now, I said to Ellen, please go in the kitchen and put the chicken legs in the refrigerator. But Ellen, being a housewife, and a mother, and a cook, and a chef, and a putter-awayer in the refrigerator of food, realized that they should be in plastic bags to be put in the refrigerator so they don't bring that lovely smell of chicken legs into all the other food in the refrigerator. And so she looked for the plastic bags, but not being a normal cook here in this kitchen, she didn't know where they were kept, because her job is to run the whole organization and not just run the kitchen. And so I said to her again, please put them into the refrigerator, because the dogs were talking and making noises and disturbing the beginning of this talk. And she still didn't do it. Finally, I had to say to her, do it now. Now, Ellen is usually a very dutiful person. She usually follows exactly what I tell her to do right when I tell her to do it, because she knows that there's a reason for it. She knows that there's a purpose for it. She knows that she gets just sick and tired of me doing these things. And that's perfectly understandable. That's perfectly understandable. But I pray the day will come soon when no one will be sick and tired of me telling them to do anything. They will just instantly do it and be done with it. And then they will remember the next time, and they won't even have to be told to do it. When the dogs start acting up because there's food setting out and it's time for the food to be put away, they'll just instantly put it away. And Ellen is going to now have a great big contest, and she's going to send out flyers to everybody, and she's going to say, where do we keep the plastic bags here in the monastery? She knows where they are in the embassy, right?
Mm-hmm.
She knows where they are in the Hermitage. She knows where they are in the Citadel. She knows where they are in the Oasis. She knows where they are in the Shangri-La. She knows where they are in the motorhome. But she doesn't know where they are in this lovely monastery, because they get moved around from time to time by the various people we have putting things away. Ingeborg has an occasion of putting things away in her own fashion. And then Sylvia has a way of putting it away in her own fashion. And Dodie probably puts it away in her own fashion. And Ellen would probably put it away in her own fashion. But Button and Love, if they were given the opportunity, they would put it in plain sight always. They say it's easier to get to that way. But you see, it doesn't make any difference what I say. It only makes a difference in what you do. How are you responding to the dogs making noises when we are giving a talk? What is one of the rules that we have here?
Put the dogs away.
One of the rules we have here is before we begin any talk, we put the dogs away. We put them in the bathroom, or we put them where they will be content. And when you put them in the bathroom, they know, hey, it's time for us to take a little nap. They don't say, we don't want to be in the bathroom here. We want to be out with you guys. We don't want to be here. Don't put us in here. Oh, don't put us in here. They don't say that. You think they say that. You think. And they don't really care at all. The minute you close the bathroom door and they're in there, they lay down and take a nap. They're perfectly content. They're not concerned with what's going on out here. But you think they are. And because you treat a dog like someone who has a mind of their own, especially your own, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You should just realize that if the dogs bother you while you're sleeping, take them and put them in the bathroom and close the door. But all night long they'll be in the bathroom. They have to go potty. They know how to hold it. They know how to hold it. Dogs are used to living in containers where they have to hold it, and they're whole and perfect in that respect. And there's no problem. And if they have to wet in the bathroom, then you wipe it up. But they don't. They don't. They never do that. They don't wet in their own house. They don't wet in their own space. They don't mess in their own space. They just hold it because they are not creatures of instantaneous out. They know how to sit in the house all day long and wait till you come home and then go potty. They know that. Now, I'm not saying that it's good or bad or indifferent. I'm just saying they know that. But you feel that they must be mollycoddled. You feel that they must be treated. And you don't treat them as whole and perfect. If we treat them as whole and perfect, then everything is in divine order. Now, does it matter to me that the dogs are not put away according to our rule?
No.
Have I ever really made a big complaint about it?
No.
I just use it as an illustration. But what is the rule?
To put them away.
If you have any intelligence at all, you would follow these little rules that come along because they have a big benefit for us, a great big benefit. I only have so much material that I can work with to give you illustrations and to give you tests and to give you challenges to see how you're coming on being one-pointed and untouchable and unpossessed and non-judgmental. I have only so many things that I really care to bother with giving you as tests. And if you don't want to take those things as tests to be one-pointed, unchallenged, you know, non-judgmental, and all that good stuff, then your wholeness and perfection is standing in abeyance. It is awaiting you. Now, you're pissed off at me, I know. You're irritated at me. You're saying, Herb, must you say the same thing again and again and again? Well, Ellen said, you know, Herb, you used to tell about your son when he had this incident and fell down, and you came upon him, and you said to him, mark your home perfect, mark your home perfect, mark your home. And you told it with such enthusiasm, such power, such joy, such recognition that he's whole and perfect, that he had to be whole and perfect. And you went with him to the emergency room, and you kept saying, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. And he would come out of his delirium, he'd say, Dad, I know. And then he'd drift back again. And then they took him for the x-ray. Mark, you're home perfect. You're home perfect. And the x-ray showed nothing. Absolutely nothing. The first x-ray showed maybe. But the second x-ray showed absolutely nothing. Because I was there holding his head. I was there giving him my love. Now, you say, my God, you tell a story again and again and again and again. Well, now you are using you're whole and perfect with your clients, with your people that you're working with. And they find great good in it. My sister May, I said, You're home perfect, May. You're home perfect. You're home perfect. Herbie, will you shut up? She would say to me. And I'd say, May, you're home perfect. I love you. I love you. You're home perfect. I enjoy seeing you alive and well and whole and perfect. May, you're fantastic. I love you. Oh, Herbie, will you shut up? Because that wasn't her choice. Her choice was to pass on. And that's great. But I couldn't allow that in my consciousness. In my consciousness, May is whole and perfect and always will be. In my consciousness, every single person who comes to me for treatment of any kind is whole and perfect. I may get really raucous and unkind about it, but you're whole and perfect. I do not allow you the privilege of being less than whole and perfect. That's not your business in my world. You come in my world because you want to be whole and perfect. And that's the way I see you. And that's what I say to Sylvia. I say that to Ellen. I say that to Dodie. And I say that to Inga. You're whole and perfect. Well, let me tell you my problem. Okay, go ahead. I am your counselor, your mentor. I am your catalyst. I'm working with you here. You may say these things to me. I say, okay, now you said it. Don't ever say it again. Now, you said it, and if you die, we'll cremate you and put your ashes around, but if that's your choice. But as far as I'm concerned, you're whole and perfect. Now, whatever game you want to play, that's your privilege. Jesus was in the tomb after his crucifixion. All the bodily juices were out of him. His blood was all drained. They just made a good show of the job, you know. They made sure he was dead. And then they wrapped him in these tomb clothes. After 3 days, he came forth. The women along the road met him, talked to him, didn't recognize him because he was in his spiritually illumined consciousness and his spiritually illumined body. And he went into to see the upper room. I said, what are you guys moaning about? Oh, Jesus is dead. Here I am. What do you mean I'm dead? Touch me. You're not Jesus. You don't have holes in your side where the spear hit you. And you don't have holes in your hands, you know, the stigmata where the nails went into your hands and feet. You're not him. Excuse me, sons. And he went out, went back to the workshop, put holes in his hands and his side, came back in. And they, doubting Thomas, reached in and touched him and said, ah, so you are him. And Jesus said, you want to think I'm his brother? You know? And so that proved to them that he had truly ascended. And he went on with them. And he taught with them. And he said he had to leave so that the Comforter could come to them, because each one of them had to be the Christ for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because he taught the indwelling Christ in every man. Now, they didn't like that. But boss, you're leaving us. We need your guidance as we're doing these things. Hey, if after 3 years of teaching you, you didn't get the message, my staying longer won't help. And you raise your son. He's now 18 years old. And he has to make a decision. Is he going to do this or is he not? Is he going to do this bad thing or is he not? And you say, oh, son, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Oh, son. You don't say that. You say, son, you know what your values are. Now go and do whatever is right for you to do. You know what your values are. I have raised you 18 years teaching you your values, teaching you your ethics, your morals, teaching you what I believe are important. Now, you go forth and you demonstrate what it is that you think are important. And if the child has been raised truly, he will not violate those things. But if he's not raised truly, he will go out and do all sorts of things. Parents have one responsibility. And that is to be an 18-year-old catalyst. And after 18, Well, actually, one moment catalyst is all they have to be. All they have to do is see what?
Point perfect.
Yes, but to a child. What do you say to
them? The genius.
You're a genius. You're a genius. You're a genius. What's the kid going to be?
A genius.
He's going to be a genius. Because you put the cause in motion. On, in fact, Ellen gets busy before they're even born. She says, oh, you got a little genius in there, huh? How about that? That's going to be a good-sized little genius, too. Perfect. Wonderful. And the mother says, a genius? Okay. With it, Ellen had the time and the temperament to go around to every man and woman who are having sex together and say to them, well, you're creating a genius. Well, you're creating a genius. And they'd say, would you get the heck out of here? You know? We're just having fun. We're not planning on having children. But you're going to have children. You watch and see. And they're going to be genius. They're going to be wonderful. Now, what if Ellen were to do such a thing like that? You laugh as I say that. But what if she were? What would happen? That seed would be planted so indelibly in the consciousness of those two people that regardless of how many children they had with how many different spouses and different relationships, every one of those kids would be a genius. Everyone. Because it's in their consciousness. That's all they know. You know? Mm-hmm. And if a mother can say this to her little child, you're a genius. You know what's right. You know what's for your highest and best. Now just follow that. See, that's what whole and perfect really means. It means to live what you believe. And if you think that what you believe is illness and unhappiness and limitation and lack and all those other interesting things, then that's your whole and perfect. And if your reality is that wholeness and perfection is my original purity and integrity, wow, you got it made. Now, I'm not joking when I say these things. I'm not joking at all. But I am doing my very best to be very fundamental with you, very down to earth, very basic. And I shout at you sometimes to get your attention or to take your thought away from something that is not beneficial to you. But I have no right to shout at you. I have no right to speak to you in any harsh way. I have no right to speak to you with any bad words, to swear at you or do any of those things. I have no right to do that to you. Except that I have such a great love for all of you that I want to see you, each one, expressing your highest and your best. And the only way you can express your highest and your best is when you respect yourself. So always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. I said that to one young man one time, and he lied his head off. But you don't have to do that. Just always tell the truth. Believe in yourself. Believe in your values. And believe in your divinity. I spoke to a lady today who was talking to me about developing her positive thinking organization. And she said, well, I have so many Christian friends who want to argue with me about Jesus dying on the cross and Jesus doing this and he's dying for our sins and he's doing these things. And I said, my dear, that's okay. If they want to argue about it, let them argue. You just say one thing. Jesus lived for me to show me the way, the truth, and the light. And that's what I follow. Whatever somebody says about him dying on the cross for my sins, that's not the words of Jesus. And I only follow what he said. He said, be perfect, even as is your Father, which art in heaven. Now, how could a man say, be ye perfect, even as is your Father, which art in heaven, if he thought we were sinners and unworthy of redemption? And you see, so I told her, I said, agree with your adversary quickly. Let them feel that they're right. And then you can start introducing some interesting things to the conversation. But, Herb, you know so much about the Bible. That's not the point. That's not the point. Speak from your heart, and you'll speak from the best Bible that was ever written. And she said, yeah. And you will say, yeah. Because you're wonderful. You're whole and perfect, now and forevermore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I love you.
Love you too.